to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We are joined by Liz Yore, a woman I've come to know and admire greatly for her record of service both to the state of Illinois and to the country as a whole in connection with trying to protect children and others from the crimes that are perpetrated against them, trafficking, abuse, and in particular of late, female genital mutilation. She served as the general counsel of the state of Illinois' Department of Children and Family Services. She was also the general counsel for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and a special counsel to Oprah Winfrey in connection with her child advocacy efforts. I'm very pleased to say she is these days working with an important initiative called End FGM Today. And I'm very excited about the chance to talk with her about the efforts of that group, particularly against the backdrop of a reverse that the cause of prohibiting FGM suffered in the state of Maine yesterday. We'll talk with her about that. But first, welcome, Liz. You're so good to have you.
Delighted to be with you, Frank. Thank you.
Could you take just a minute and sort of set the stage for this conversation by explaining to us what female genital mutilation is and where it is practiced?
Female genital mutilation is a religious and cultural practice that has existed for centuries, if not millennia. It's practiced primarily in Africa, the Middle East, and Asia. In its hideous and brutal practice, imposed little girls, and it is, among many things, the excision of their clitoris. It happens and is performed by just plain old people. They bring in their children to these mutilators to cut the genitals of the little girls, sometimes to sew the genitals of the little girls. The whole purpose of it is to suppress the female sexual expression and pleasure. It is to impose submission to females so that they do not have the ability to enjoy sexual expression. And as a result, it is being imported into our shores in the United States. The World Health Organization has declared this a human rights violation. And as well as the UN has been repeatedly urging countries around the world to criminalize FGM. And we in the United States, until now, have not really been faced with this hideous practice. And until now, when we see it with the massive influx of Muslim migrants from the Middle East, we're now faced with having to address this practice. It's hard to believe that it's here on our shores. Interestingly, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, estimates that 513,000 little girls in the United States are subject to this or at risk of FGM. We only have to look, Frank, to Germany. In 1 year, the incidence of FGM tripled. If it goes unchecked, this is what we are facing in the United States.
Yeah. 513,000 of these mutilations is an epidemic, I think, by any definition. This is something that, of course, has come to light in particular, Liz Yore, as you know, in the state of Michigan as a result of a federal prosecution underway there. Talk a little bit about that, and then I want to turn to what's going on in Maine at the moment.
Sure. In April, there was a federal indictment of a doctor who had performed this hideous practice, female doctor. She was a member of the Dawoodi Bohra cult. It's a Shiite Muslim cult. It is in the United States. In fact, they have 22 mosques in the United States. She had performed FGM on two little girls who were brought from Minnesota to Michigan by their mothers. The investigation has grown exponentially, Frank. The FBI, in their wisdom, started a hotline for victims of FGM or for information regarding this hideous practice. And as a result, they have indicated that there's over 100 victims of FGM related to this case, that the case has grown, and I argue, much like human trafficking. This is the underground network. The case has expanded to from Michigan to Chicago to L.A. and to New York. I think it will continue to grow. And this is, you know, quite frankly, the importance of prosecutions is because it allows this criminal secret covert practice to come out in the light.
This brings us to Maine, where just yesterday, the state Senate failed to take steps that would have permitted the bill to come to a vote in the Senate as well as in the House. And Liz, tell me, why would anybody in the state of Maine or otherwise not want to prohibit this violence against little girls when there's such evidence that it is happening not just in some foreign land, but here in our own country?
The federal government identified Maine as one of the top tier 8 at risk of FGM because of the high per capita population of Somali refugees in Maine. UNICEF identified 97% of Somali women are subjected to FGM. And so we are importing this practice into the United States. That's why Maine was so key. And the Prosecutors Association said that they needed this bill. They testified on behalf of this bill that the laws on the books did not address, the criminal laws did not address this practice. And yet, even though the prosecutors and many of the Republican legislators who had struggled very hard to craft a bill to address this practice in Maine,
it's appalling. So Liz, where are the feminists? Where are the people who are much in evidence in connection with other instances of child abuse or bullying or human trafficking? I mean, how is it that people are not up in arms about this, not just in Maine, but elsewhere as well?
Well, Frank, we did smoke out the opposition in our FGM and FGM Today project to try and get this bill passed. And the liberal progressive feminists provided us with their pathetic rationale and lame excuses. It's really a shocking reality that liberal democratic women in Maine, in the legislature, opposed this bill. I mean, I asked the question, what happened to violence against women? Isn't this an issue that the liberal women fight so mightily against? What happened to women empowerment? What did the women's pink knit cap symbolize, if not dignity and protection of women? Well, we saw that in Maine, that this is what we learned. There is a priority of interest in the liberal progressive hierarchy. And the moving force behind this opposition to FGM was the ACLU. And so we know that. That's right. And, you know, the ultimate goddess, if you will, for liberal Democrats and ACLU is worshiping at the altar of political correctness, cultural diversity and tolerance. And these female liberal Democratic legislators made a political calculation that these Somali women are their constituents and voters, and they don't want to alienate them, no matter how heinous or brutal this cultural and religious practice.
It may be less the Somali women, actually, Liz. It may be the Somali men that are going along with this program as well, of course. Liz, we have to leave it at that. We are hard out of time. I'm so appreciative of the work you're doing at End FGM Today, and I look forward to talking with you in the near future about it. This reverse in Maine, I think, is temporary, but I'm hoping that it will arouse the country to action against this brutal and horrifically anti-woman practice. Keep up the good work. Come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.